This episode of Neckbreaker is officially brought to you by ClickAtTicket.com. They have tickets for thousands of events, including Iron Maiden, NXT, School of Rock, NASCAR, all in caps, and many more. For being our too sweet listener, ClickAtTicket.com is offering you a 5% discount on any ticket purchase. Just Google ClickAtTicket, find an event, and enter the code NECKBREAKER at checkout. One more time, Google ClickAtTicket, add some tickets to your cart, enter the code NECKBREAKER at checkout for your 5% discount. And now, enjoy the show. Thanks for downloading this episode of Neckbreaker. I'm your host, Brian Thompson. Let's cut to the chase. I'm running solo this week. Our schedules have just been very hectic. But both my co-hosts, John, who's celebrating a birthday this week, and Chris will be back on our next episode where we'll get back to covering the latest pro wrestling and heavy metal headlines. Oh, and be sure to catch Drive-By Bukkake's return show on Friday, June 17th at the Elks Lodge in Nashua, New Hampshire, with Dysentery, Parasitic Ejaculation, Conforza, and a bunch more. It's going to be a hell of a time. Cheap drinks, no complaints. All right, enough hogwash. Here's my interview with Colin Conway from Soul Remnants. Enjoy. You've been in a bunch of bands. I'm not going to bore people with like your whole, what's your band?
Well, you should, because no one knows who the hell I am.
Well, all right, let's go there then. All right. Well, like, somebody, how many interviews have you done on the web or whatever? They're like asking the questions, like, if you just Googled it, it'd come up on the fucking second result. You know what I mean?
Yeah, not many.
So what? Just fucking buried me.
not a lot. I play with people in bigger bands, but that's about it.
Let's go over band history then. All right. So like, let's start it off. Let's build a story. So like, what's like the first metal show you remember going to as a kid?
First metal show. Well, I guess it's kind of metal. I'll just tell you about my first concert.
Boys to Men.
Yeah. Actually, it was close. It was actually Faith No More opening for Billy Idol. So, I mean, you're close.
That's a weird lineup. What year?
Yeah, 1990.
Okay, 1990.
Right after Real Thing came out. I went there specifically to see Faith No More. And I mean, Billy Idol's cool, but, you know, I was, at that point in time, I was in third grade, and I was, you know, already on my way to, like, the heavier stuff.
Of course, you're already in.
That was my first concert ever. There was a little bit of boy band action involved in that, though, with New Kids on the Block, because I was wearing a New Kids Suck hat that night. I think my sister gave it to me for Christmas or some shit. But yeah, so that was.
So you're seeing Faith No More, the Real Thing. I mean,
that was the tour.
I was
third grade at the time. I think I was eight. Yeah,
probably my favorite Faith No More album. I think.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
A shitload came out after Angel Dust, and there's so many more, and they went really dark and weird.
But they're all good, dude.
I'm not saying they're bad, but
they're all good.
I was sold at Real Thing. I was already in.
So yeah.
You're young Colin's going to see New Kids on the Block when he's in 1990. No, I'm just kidding. 1990, you're going to see Faith No More. Like, from there, when did like drumming come into your life? Were you already drumming before you went to your first show?
No. I started playing guitar when I was... I think five. It was like 1988
what?
Or something. Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. One of those, Toys R Us guitars.
I started my own project. Yeah. I started my own project playing like this like Hondo Flying V or whatever it was that I had. And I had like a Fisher Price recorder, and I had my first project called Tarantula. And I wrote
That's still a good band name. I don't know.
I know. Okay. And then my sister to this day still loves it. She thinks that's my best band yet. And
fucking Tarantula.
Yeah, I had a demo tape. It was like one of those like Memorex that was like recorded over about 50 times with like radio stations and stuff like in between, and just like, you know, just me making a bunch of noise. I was just pounding on notes and strings. I didn't know anything, man.
You guys are doing a stadium tour this year?
Yeah. I should get a Tarantula reunion where it's seriously just me just like trying to shred on a guitar. So much to the point where one night I wound up, it was a fixed bridge. And I wound up the whammy bar so hard that when I went to bend it, it just ripped the whole fucking deck off.
Jesus Christ.
And that was the end of Tarantula.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Some band's going to go on a hiatus, that's all. It's not
a hey, I mean, you know, I mean, watch out for the reunion tour. I think we might headline Hellfest next year.
Yeah, the politics and all that.
I'm going to need a backing band, though.
Of course. Yeah. So, like, you start off with guitar. I didn't know that. I figured you were a drummer.
Yeah, actually, that's the whole tarantula story is a very long-winded way of talking about how I got into drums. And by the time I was like a teenager, you know, growing up in rural Massachusetts, you know, there was like really no one around, man. I used to hang out with a lot of older people, but they were already busy with their other bands who have since become bigger bands. And, you know, I was kind of at a loss for you know, what I was going to do. So I couldn't really find any drummers that could play along to what I had. So I just started playing drums. And
you want it done right.
Yeah. And from there, I always had like the idea of like doing it all on my own. And then, you know, as I got older, started jamming more. I formed Frozen with some friends from town as everyone started maturing and getting into like the music scene. Then going to Boston, meeting new people, and just kind of spiraled on out.
Frozen, then. That was your first, you think, project? More besides Tarantula, of course.
No. Actually, no. There was a few bands before that. I originally sang before I really even knew how to play guitar. I sang in a death metal band when I was like 13.
Damn.
Yeah, right out of the Leominster area. Coincidentally, had the drummer, this dude, Jeff Pitts. He plays in Empire Shall Fall now.
Oh, okay.
With,
so
with Jesse.
What was the name of this death metal band? Did it have a name?
Yeah,
it's going back a ways.
Subliminal Hatred.
Subliminal Hatred. Okay.
Yeah. I should actually tell Jeff to download this podcast so he can hear like the the plugs.
Cheap plug.
And then I ended up shortly after that, joining another like a doom band from the Boston area called Withering Spring.
Withering Spring.
Yeah, it sounded like a soap commercial, but.
You are definitely a New England drummer. Like, there's already like three or four projects, and like we're barely into your.
Oh yeah.
Like
yeah.
Barely into the story here.
No, at this point, I was 13. Like,
that's a shitload of bands for yeah, a 13-year-old. Yeah. Like, I was probably playing baseball and just hanging out with friends, and you're already four projects deep.
I did that too, but my baseball career started suffering because I was, you know.
Your death metal.
I got into the rock.
Your drumming arms just getting affected.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man. So like, all right. So you're. Let's see if I can try to figure out the amount of projects you got. Frozen. You have the death metal one from. I got a terrible memory.
Doesn't matter.
Okay. So we're trying to build a story. Long story short, we're trying to get us to where
a bunch of crappy bands up until I was like in my 20s.
So Metal Archives says this, and that must mean it's true. At some point, you were with Kanai, right?
Yeah. For that was the bulk of my touring.
Like define bulk. How many years you think?
I don't know. Felt like 10, but it was like 2.
Damn.
Yeah.
Okay, but still, you're probably nonstop touring, or
it was. It was absolutely nonstop touring. I don't remember. Maybe 3 years, but I mean, we were seriously just like hitting it hard. I had joined that band when I was 21.
Early 2000s, maybe?
Yeah. I think it was I joined the band late 2003.
Okay.
Like 2 weeks before a tour with Soilwork and Chimera.
Damn.
And yeah, just like a mini tour. Or at least we did the first leg of that big tour they did. And then, yeah, we just kind of did a lot of touring from that. Did another record, and then it really just kind of fizzled out, unfortunately.
I saw that logo on a lot of flyers from 2001 to like 2005 or 6.
Yeah,
everywhere. Every fucking show. If it was in New England, Kanai was probably on it.
There were a lot of... Yeah, that was before the days of selling tickets. So I'm sure those promoters would have made us sell tickets by now.
Let's go there. Let's like... Wait, so that pay-to-play bullshit wasn't going on, right?
You know, I don't... It wasn't as ubiquitous
Join
as
us
it is
if
now.
You want, please. Grab some pizza. Grab a mic, Ryan.
Yeah.
Anytime.
Ryan, get on in on this.
This is a bullshit session.
We need to hear Ryan's story too about where he grew up and
of course, yeah.
I only know his like previous bands. He was in Burial for a little while.
Oh no shit. Okay. Right.
No, no, Metal Archives does say that though.
So it's gonna be true. It's on the internet, it's gonna be true.
There must be another Ryan Murphy out there that plays bass.
Jesus Christ. All right, so let's get there. Pay to play bullshit. I mean, there's no need. There's no need. Like,
well, I mean, dude, no, there is a need. Exposure.
Oh,
exposure. And I mean,
that'll pay the bills.
Well, I mean, yeah, absolutely, dude. You have exposure bucks, dude. You can. I mean, honestly, that goes a long way.
Dude, tell me about it.
I mean, dude, fuck EBT. Exposure bucks are the next thing.
It's the new thing in 2016. Yep. It's absolutely ridiculous. Like,
how else do musicians buy? How else do musicians buy drugs, dude? It's exposure bucks, dude. Like they don't have real money to buy drugs.
So we get like two types of pay to play. Correct me if I'm wrong. You get the local promoter who wants to do an all day festival with he's got the tour package coming in. You get the nine locals who got to sell 35 tickets to the same 12 friends.
Yeah,
and they're all fighting for each other's ticket sales.
That's true.
Yep. Or you got this other pay to play, which is bands paying just to get on that original tour package.
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird type of pay to play. You know where I'm going with that?
Yeah, I would say the latter are the real suckers. In a game of suckers, the latter are the real suckers.
They're paying a lot to get on those packages.
Yeah. And the former, yeah, they have a lot of competition because there's a lot of cannibalization in that market because, you know, the metal scene is so small. There's really only 100 people that are going to go to a show. You have 10 bands playing, you know.
Each of them are all the same friends. Yeah, and they
know the same like 50, 100 people, and they're trying to sell these tickets. And then, you know, there's another tier to this now where it's like there's kind of like a merit system where, you know, whoever sells the most gets the better slot. And, you know,
God,
I mean, I guess that's good to show like the dedication of, I'm being devil's advocate, but I
want to hear this.
It goes to show the dedication and really the commitment that a band has to promoting themselves. But at the same time, it's total bullshit, and it's an advantageous situation for a promoter to have. And it's really to me, I would love to see a promoter challenge me on this, but I don't see a promoter's job anymore. If there's going to be bands promoting the show and selling tickets for the promoter, what's the promoter doing? Just hooking up the show?
Promoter's not even the right word.
No, it's really just like a liaison.
You're the show manager. You're the guy who books the venue.
If that.
No, you maybe get the sound guy.
No, you're just a fucking middleman.
So at that point, the bands could go directly to the venues. Like you're a middleman.
Well, you know, some venues, especially bigger venues, like to have like an intermediary, and
they don't want to work with the talent.
Well, yeah, that's true too, because I mean, if you get a guy who's booking shows that's in one of the bands, and then there's some sort of conflict with like a national touring package,
right,
that can get pretty dirty if like someone doesn't, they don't have enough money to pay for the touring package, they're not business minded, so they're gonna agree, yeah, you know, $7,000 sounds great for fucking some shit band no one's really heard of. Yeah. That sounds like, but I like them.
But they're on tour.
Yeah, but they're on tour. So they're drawing. Yeah, and next thing you know, it's like they, like four people show up and there's no fucking money for anyone.
Who's accountable at that point? Yeah.
At that point, even the sound guy's getting ripped off.
Like the promoter, you're right. The promoter's a middleman. That smells really good, by the way. I'm talking about that pizza, right?
Oh, that, yeah. Yeah, lettuce. It's a green pizza.
It's great. So, yeah, pay to play shit's got to end. Like, I mean, every touring package that comes in, a lot of these promoters try to make it into a festival. Like, right away, that's their immediate go-to now. Throw six locals on. Locals can play at 2:30 in the afternoon. Fuck them. And then...
Dude, I don't know if I'm old, but I used to love going to shows and seeing a lot of bands play. But, you know, when it's like... A lot of the times, it's the same bands... And I mean, there's kind of like an integrity factor to it too. And like, it's like all these bands that are always, I mean, I have friends that do it, you know, and we've done it in the past, but it's really, there's an integrity factor to it. And, I think it's, transparent so that when people are, thank you. When
it's
people,
good pizza.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Veggie, right?
That's definitely vegetarian for sure. And anyway, I forget what I was going with this.
So, all right. Long story short, the pay to play bullshit's just. I don't edit this shit out either.
I'm not even smoking. I have to cough. I'm just battling a cold.
Our audience actually appreciates this. So,
yeah, but it's like, you know, you get these festivals, yeah, but it's the thing is there's nothing exclusive to it. There's no new bands coming in. It's the same fucking bands opening for the same kind of like fucking, you know, whoever tour coming through that's like
right.
third tier metal anyway.
You know what?
Because all, you know, all the really big tours are going to bigger venues with more corporate backing, which is also another realm of bullshit. I mean, the
corporate backing.
Yeah.
Huh? It's interesting. I mean, it is a payday. You know, I mean, it's a kind of a guarantee. It's a guarantee on top of your guarantee, I suppose, right? But, like, you got Scion doing festivals and bullshit now?
Well.
Please, take your time. Take
I'm
your
not
time.
Gonna, yeah. I'm not gonna.
The ad rep at Spot Scion's pissed right now. He's got his ears open. What are they gonna say about Scion?
Tell you the truth, I was liking what they were doing. I'm not talking about corporate backing like that. I'm talking about corporate venues. Corporate
Live
backing
Nation
is,
style, okay.
Yeah, well,
different ball
I'm not going to name names because, you know, I don't want to burn any bridges, but
no.
There's really kind of like a fucking musical Illuminati. That's in some respect because it's almost like you just see the same, like, no one's taking risks. You just see the same, like, play it safe fucking tour packages coming through. And it's getting boring, dude.
Okay, you know? Where are you going with this?
Yeah, and it's and it's always the same like local opening band, or it's the same, and it's like I was just saying, it's always like the same like, you know, 10 bands before the touring package that have to sell tickets to the same 100 people. And by no means am I talking shit. I'm saying it's a bummer that they have to do that.
We're not a shit talking show.
No,
we're
just
putting it out there. Like,
it's really
it's
hard.
The truth.
Yeah,
just because people don't like to hear it doesn't mean you can't say it.
It's just a bummer that like. You know, like a lot of these bands, like it's like sometimes really it is their only shot, so they're gonna pay to do it.
It's a show.
And I mean, dude, it's like, do you go to your work to do you pay to go to your job? I mean, I guess I pay for gas, but
that's it.
You know,
but the return's much better off. But you know, for a lot of these bands, they're young,
mm-hmm.
they're looking for that exposure, right? And I don't know if shows are harder and harder to get. Or maybe this is an easy way to get on a show. Like,
well, it's a saturated market now, too.
Very saturated.
I mean, there's a lot of bands, and there's a lot of opportunities for bands to get on these shows. So, I mean, it's a double-edged sword because, you know, because of these festivals, it gives more bands opportunity to play.
Exactly.
You know, when they otherwise couldn't, and they would have to play like their like local VFW, which isn't necessarily a bad thing because I've gone to many VFW AmVets shows and Masonic Temple shows, and they're fucking
playing
awesome.
One next month. It's
yeah,
they're a blast because the beers are like $2.
Oh, dude, like I yeah, the VFW strength fucking booze drinks, dude, are like
very
another
heavy.
World. It's like you have two and you're walking out of there like fucking like stumbling out of there.
And the worst part is too, you'll have these VFW shows. The beers are like $3, and the drunk yeah. metalheads are still drinking beers in their car outside.
And
you
the
know
best
what
part
I mean?
Too. Well, the best part too is a lot of them are all ages. You know, and you're playing like these small little towns and you're getting all these kids out there that are just really, they're into it. They're not going there to drink. They're not going there to pose. They're really going there because they're into it. And more often than not, they're going to be supportive and they're probably going to buy something. They're not wasting their money on beer, you know. Not to say that wasting your money on beer is a bad thing because I've done it a lot.
No. Now this is good. Like these are the conversations people sometimes don't want to have. Man, that fucking pizza is really vegetarian,
dude. You gotta stop inhaling when you're eating.
Tell me about it. I mean,
it goes
Christ.
Right down the esophagus. Yeah, just chew it.
Ow! Fucking eat it. All right, so let's go back to the story. You're kind of jumping all over the place for projects. At some point, you
I think
were
I'm jumping all over the place in this fucking conversation right now.
It's encouraged, really. People like the randomness. So, like, you went for, at some point, Death Ray Vision, I think, was on your Metal
yep.
Archives page. What
yep.
were you doing, drumming?
Death Ray Vision. Drumming, yep.
Drumming for Death Ray. Who was in that?
That's
I know I could Google this, but.
Yeah. It's a hardcore band, old school, like, kind of hardcore throwback
yeah.
band. Mike D from Killswitch.
I thought
Killswitch
it was like
Engage.
A weird kind of super group.
Yeah, he Killswitch had like a little lull at one point, I think about six years ago. And he came up with a lot of demos with this you know thing in mind, and he got in touch with some former bandmates of his, being Brian Fair, also sings for Shadows Fall, and Pete Cortez, and the three of them together played in a pretty legendary Central Mass band called Overcast.
Never heard of them.
They were the... Yeah. Oh, I was about to say, you got to be fucking with me. So, yeah.
They kind of came back a couple years ago, too, right?
Yeah, yeah, they, a couple one-offs. Yeah. Like, couple dates here and there, like reunion shows. And yeah, so then we got Zach on guitar. And we were just jamming a bunch. And we did an EP, did a record.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows what will come of it. I mean, everyone else is pretty busy. Some guys have, like, actually, Mike's always touring with Killswitch, and the rest of the guys have families.
Killswitch has been, they've been booked for a couple of years now, dude, just like, straight out.
Yeah, who knows?
Festival circuit, multiple albums.
I don't even keep up.
Yeah. Well, you still see it. I still see it. I'm not even looking for it, and I see it. just going by Metal Archives here, All That Remains?
Yep.
What was your stint there?
Actually, it's funny that you asked. It was about, I think it was, what was this, May, mid-May? So yeah, it was exactly 10 years ago.
Wow.
This time, 10 years ago, we were on a European tour. What had happened was their drummer at the time, right after recording that record, The Fall of Ideals.
Right.
The drummer at the time had left, and they had like only like 3 weeks or 4 weeks before this European tour. So Phil gave me a call, and I had known Phil since I was like 13. And he just called me up, asked me if I could do it, and I said, yeah, sure. And then did that, and was in that video with them.
Oh, the one we were talking about outside with Bruce, calling. With the neighbor over here.
Oh, so, right, yeah.
Like, so you were in a music video. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I did that with them, and then they went off to do Ozfest. What had happened was the drummer who had left wanted to come back in. At that time, I was already busy with both Kanai and Frozen. So I couldn't. My hands were tied.
They want to go full out too.
I was asked to do Ozfest with them, and I just didn't do it.
It's still like 45 dates, maybe, or something like that.
Yeah,
right?
It would have been cool. Yeah. But hey, whatever. It was 10 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Not like looking back saying, "Oh, what the fuck?" You're just looking back. That's all. We're building a story.
I mean, it happens, dude. But I mean, you know, my crystal ball at the time was in the shop. It was being worked on. It was acting up.
You're always going to look back at something and go, yeah. Oh, what if I did that instead of this? But
exactly.
Wherever you did brought you to where you are, so...
Well, wherever I went, here I am.
Exactly. We're in a garage hanging out, eating some vegetarian pizza. That's all.
And yeah, very very cool garage.
I say garage. Actually, this looks like a garage.
I mean, it basically is. I mean, there's a garage door on it.
It's got a garage door, okay.
I mean, I would say that right there makes it a garage.
Ryan, you want to give us your quick band history?
Yeah, Ryan, please.
You don't have to do the full story, but like a... we'll add another voice. Ryan is also in Soul Remnants. Welcome to Neckbreaker. How about like, I don't know, a couple of bands you've been involved with? I don't know if it's just Soul Remnants or anything else.
No, I started off a band called Systematic Suicide, just a local band.
Okay, Systematic Suicide. What were you doing?
Bass.
Bass? Playing bass the whole time, more or less?
Yeah.
Right on. And then immediately to Soul Remnants.
Yeah, there's always side projects in between.
A couple of one-offs or anything like that. Right on. Actually, do me a solid. Grab that green mic.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's a little bit better. Okay, cool. All right, so like, we're into the Soul Remnants portion. At that point, actually, another band I had for you, Colin, was, and correct me if I'm wrong, Vatnet Viskar.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a very, very succinct. Yeah.
Yeah. I had started, well, I guess... Nick and Chris had started like writing a lot of stuff and then started the band out. At the time I was talking to Chris about, you know, doing something. We met through a friend. And he was talking about how he wanted to do a black metal project and stuff. So I was like, yeah, that's cool. Sent me some demos. Sounded cool. And then, yeah, I just joined in on guitar. But at the time, I mean, it was already, he and Nick already kind of assembled a band, and they were already two guitar players, and I was a third guitar player.
Right.
So, I mean, there's a lot of redundancy there, and after about 5 months, yeah, I ended up just quitting. I mean, not a big deal.
No, it's just part of your band history. But guitars, drums, just been fucking keeping busy.
Yeah, I mean, you read that lineage, though, you'd think for the most part that I'm quite non-committal, you know?
Hey, check out any person's resume in their 30s, or what, I don't know, how old are you in your 30s?
Yeah.
James Murphy.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
You always look at anybody's resume. You don't want people who's in something for 15 years. Like, you need some diversity.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it's good. Different styles. Yeah, of course. you know.
Better songwriting, different songwriting, different experiences.
It makes you more well-rounded, at least, or at least I like to think that.
Like, what if you only played black metal your whole career? You know, like,
yeah, absolutely.
You'd only be drumming black metal. No different. That's it. Like, that would be you.
Hey, man, there's still some success to be had in that, I think, you know.
I think it's not a bad thing. It's just, it'd be nice to be.
I mean, I'm not from Norway, so I'm not going to count on it. You know what I mean?
You don't have to tell them that.
I'm not 6'5 and like super like.
Blonde?
Yeah, super blonde or, you know, whatever. You know, like, I don't like hike up fjords for, you know, for fun, so.
At some point, so you're in multiple projects. It's not a bad thing. You just get a resume. So at some point, you got this whole Remnants, right? I just listened, I've been listening to the Black and Blood album. Were you guys both on Black and Blood?
All of us were.
Okay, gotcha. I didn't know if the lineup changes or whatever, but who did the production for that album?
We did some of it, and what is his name? Pete Rucho.
Oh, Rucho.
Yes.
Everybody loves Pete Rucho. Yeah, he's insane. He knows exactly what needs to be done.
Yeah.
So many bands around here have gone to him.
He used to be an old bandmate of mine in Frozen, too.
Oh, he was in Frozen?
Yep.
Okay.
He was the keyboard player and producer.
So, like, you guys handled the production. Did you guys do all the mastering and everything, too, or did you send it out?
No, that was mostly done by him.
Oh, by Pete Rucho, of course, right. Because the sounds really good. It came out in 2013, I believe. Something like that.
Yeah, he usually tracks the drums, and then these guys will do the guitar tracks on their own. And then he'll mix it.
So. Oh, that's pretty cool. A little back and forth, right? You know, I know it's going back 3 years, but what was the most challenging part about putting out that album? Because that was your last full length, and I assume you guys are working towards something coming up. But what was like the toughest part about doing this album? Was it pretty self-explanatory?
I think Tom and Mitch would be able to answer that a little bit better.
Yeah, I know my toughest part was just having people watch me record. Every bad note, they'd make me stop and go back. Yeah. It just gets...
So, like, just like you fucking up or whatever, or do they know the bass riffs and they're like, no, you're supposed to play it this way?
No, just people wanting it perfect every time.
Ugh.
And it's just going back and over and over.
Repetitiveness, and then you hate every song you're tracking.
I don't sit still long, so yeah, that was my toughest part of it, just sitting there and getting it all down.
Ryan doesn't dig scrutiny when he's stoned.
When this show wraps up and you're left craving, wanting, needing, desire more, kill some more productivity by visiting our bitchin' website, neckbreaker.net. You'll find exclusive episodes that you won't find in our free iTunes feed, including pay-per-view commentary and different drinking games. Plus, we have a merch store with shirts, hoodies, long sleeves, coffee mugs, fucking flags, anything you name it, we'll make it. Blankets. And spaghetti.
Crackers. Spaghetti.
Any purchases you make on our site go directly to covering our show costs to keep us moving forward. So visit neckbreaker.net and grab some swag, brah.
Buy the shirt!
We get it. Cash is tight, so here's a few free ways that you can support Neckbreaker. First off, word of mouth is best. Tell people at bars, at your office, or your weird wrestling or metal friends that you're listening to the only wrestling and metal show on the planet. Subscribe to our show on iTunes and leave us a dumb review. All reviews, good and bad, help us move up the charts. So tell us what you think about specific episodes or the show in general. Or fuck off. And stay active on our social media accounts at NB Podcasts on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Join our discussions, share our shit, and tag us in your posts. Or not, you know, it gets annoying to get those notifications, so you can fuck off on that too. Your activity builds awareness for our show. Thanks a lot, and fuck off.
All right, so you put out the album 2013. I'm sure you did a bunch of shows, and I want to get some of your European touring stuff, but you've probably been asked 40,000 times, the rock band. How did that come down? Get the track on there?
Actually, I think Mitch took care of that. He would.
You know, that sounded like a mob answer, by the way. He went to the docks and took care of it.
Yeah. Hey, you know, he went down to a place and took care of that thing.
You never see him again.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Hey, I look good though. I look tan, right?
Yeah. Don't know the logistics. Mitch was basically said, "We have this opportunity. Do you guys want to sign off on it?" And we said, "Yeah."
That's a.
So he's the man behind the curtain.
Damn.
See, I didn't even find out that way. I found out...
Playing the game?
No, no, seriously. Like, what something, the fuck is this? Something popped up on, like... what the hell was it? Maybe like an... Like, I was searching for something. I don't even remember
Soul what Remnants? It
was. Sometimes I search for my own shit.
You gotta keep on those alerts.
I mean, you gotta... Well, you gotta find out what's marketable, right?
Of course.
I mean, you gotta find your niche audience. You gotta find where you're hot. You gotta look on Last.fm and see where people downloaded your shit the most.
Yep. Track that data.
I don't even use Last.fm. I'm just throwing it out there.
You're asking the right questions.
But yeah, I don't know. I came across it somehow online that maybe like an announcement. Like, oh, that's what it was. It was on Rolling Stone. I believe it was rollingstone.com or something. And they had a running list of all the bands that were going to be on the upcoming Rock Band 4. And I'm like looking at it. I'm like, yeah, cool, Aerosmith, and like all that. I see Soul Remnants, and I'm like, what the hell? So I'm like,
a fucking typo?
Guys. Yeah, I hit up the guys, and I'm like, well, because Mitch works at Harmonix, which is the company that puts it out. So there's okay. a little bit of politics involved.
No, there's politics and there's connections.
Yeah,
that's true. Connections.
But, yeah, yeah. It wasn't like he was like, you know, sleeping like the owner's daughter to get on it. You know,
he
like,
blackmailed the audio guy over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, like
right. Just connections. That's good.
Speaking of mob stuff, he just gave him an offer he couldn't refuse. You know,
not supposed to talk about it.
Yeah,
hey, we actually have a track off the first album on Rock Band 3 as well.
Oh, no
if
shit.
If you're watching the credits, you can hear a track from Plague of the Universe.
What? We do?
Yeah. Oh, get out of here.
Wait, it's on like, it's on the outro?
Yeah.
He's got no some idea. Connections over there. Yeah. Damn, so like, huh. But exposure-wise, that was probably pretty good, you know?
Well, like I said, man.
Not gonna hurt.
Exposure bucks go a long way. You know? I mean, dude, I mean... Hey, we sell tickets and we put out free songs on Rock Band 4 to get exposure. I mean, again, dude, my rent isn't going to pay itself.
No, but I mean, it had, not saying immediately put fucking money in your pocket, but it did not hurt.
No, I think it upped a few views on YouTube.
Of course. I mean, the exposure of that game, how many people bought that game?
Right.
I mean...
Yeah, that too. I think it definitely, I know for a fact that it brought up our Spotify plays a month because I listen to us on Spotify constantly because after a while we might see some royalties from that. I think it's like 1 million plays and you get like 14 cents. So I'm trying to, there's goals to be had.
You hear about that band that did that? I think they had a, they had like a really long song and some programmer, of course, found a way for their, to constantly loop their tracks over and over overnight, so they go to bed and loop their album somehow some way.
Well, that's,
and then over a period of a long time, because they were telling all of their fan base to do the same thing, they were making decent money, not loaded, but pretty decent money from it. And then Spotify found out, of course.
Well, I mean,
hey, take the money and
honestly
run.
They're just kind of preying upon Spotify's intellectual property, in which they're compromising the band's intellectual property. So it's a vicious circle that I think ends up just kind of jacking itself off.
You know, it's in my one of my later questions. I'll just fucking go there. Spotify. So like, where do you guys stand on Spotify versus people buying albums? Would you rather have some, obviously it'd be nice to have somebody buy your album, but if they're hearing your shit on Spotify, what do you think about that?
I'm sick of talking. Ryan, go for it.
Well, I don't know much about the internet, but my theory on that is I love the CDs. I love grabbing the books.
Right.
I love reading the info on the inside, you know?
Of course.
I'm just old school that way, but as far as the internet, if you hear my band online and you like it and you continue to listen to it, go for it.
Support in any other way.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, man. I mean, I listen to music online, you know?
Of course.
But it's, you know, and you discover a lot of great stuff that way. But yeah, I mean, I'm really into the experience too. I used to like, you know, used to love buying. I mean, I'm not going to try to sound like a hipster, but you know, I used to like buying records when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
And because when you get records, you know, you get the full experience. And I think, you know, the smell of the CDs and stuff like that, right when you buy them, like just that experience of putting it in and having never heard it or know what to expect, you know, was actually a really cool thing. Let's get nostalgic with a bunch of old dudes.
Yeah. The old farts. The music's kind of weird. I'm just used to fucking bass and whatever garbage going on in the background of our shows.
Yeah,
this is like an ambient kind of thing. It's weird.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting David Gilmour to be practicing out some new Pink Floyd riffs next door.
I'll get him on the show next week. That's fine. You guys toured Europe with Blood Soaked, huh?
Yep.
I mean, just ask yourself when you're 12 or 13, am I going to be touring Europe in a couple, you know? Like, that's awesome. So, was it a good time?
It was a blast.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It was really was a good time.
You did Czech Republic, I think, Poland. Yeah.
I mean, it was a like small tour, like lengthwise. I think it was like 9 dates. But it was done right.
Right to the point.
Yeah.
Simple.
It was done professionally. I mean, none of us were really big bands, but some nights had good crowds, like really good, like surprising crowds.
Right. Like being in Soul Remnants, or let's just say Soul Remnants, working your way up, busting ass, doing shows. At any point where you put on a lineup that did not make any goddamn sense at all. You know where I'm going with that? One of those weird, like, why the fuck are we on this? And sometimes you get a random lineup and it's like, okay, it's a hardcore band and a thrash
band.
Listen,
man, I like Dante and I do like Sammy's Patio as a venue. It does happen a lot there. But, I mean, yeah, I've seen it many times before. It's not a bad thing, though.
No, I'm not even saying, like, do you have a story? Like, any weird lineup at some point? Like, oh, why are we doing this? This is weird.
I'd say years ago, I'd say like my first band, we used to get thrown on every like tour package that was coming through because I was in high school and sold a lot of tickets and I did that fucking bullshit thing.
Nope.
But it was death metal, the very beginning of it, and none of the promoters knew what we were doing. So we were always playing with like Seven Dust shows or The Exploited every punk tour that came through.
We just lumped it all together.
We were a death metal band opening for all these punk acts. It was crazy. But yeah.
New metal, punk, death metal show.
Yeah. More so back then than now. Now it seems like there's a lot of bands that are...
I mean, variety on a bill is not a bad thing.
I love it.
It just depends on how closed-minded, closed-minded like the genre itself is.
I like a mixed bill, but we got booked in Jersey, I think, on one of our East Coast tours, and we somehow got thrown on a pop punk show. You know what I mean?
Christian pop punk show, and Drive By Bukkake comes to headline, and
it was a fart in church when we were out there. Like it was pop punk, Drive By Bukkake. That venue, like. Everyone fucking started smoking that night. Left the venue.
Yeah.
Fuck this and came back. Like, one of those weird lineups. Like, this is fucking weird. Oh, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, those situations are inevitable. I mean, you're going to run into those. I mean, being on tour, especially like DIY book tours with like old, like when I was with Kanai, we would do stuff like that. And yeah, we'd play like a... Like there were nights where we played like a place called like the Barn, and it was like we're like, oh, that sounds like a cool themed like, you know, bar or something. No, dude, it was a barn, like somewhere in New Jersey,
like, fucking Jersey,
yeah, Jersey of all places, and it's like, oh, cool. When's our show at the Basement? And then like, you know,
how about the restaurant? Can we play the bar later?
Hey guys, does this club, the Doghouse, sound a little peculiar? Like the fuck is this?
You do a whole tour of house names. We're playing the Garage on Saturday. Oh,
dude, that same tour, yeah, we were doing like people's fucking living rooms. I mean, dude, we would have played a fucking
barbecues.
We would have played a phone booth if we could, you know.
Like, if you guys
exist anymore,
you guys heard of the Meat Locker in Jersey?
Yes, I heard that place is a disgusting dump in a good way.
Just like what you're talking about. It's fucking underneath a restaurant in a wicked damp basement. There's no lights.
Oh yeah.
And you walk into this hall, and it's just a big open room and a makeshift stage built in the back of it.
Right.
But what it is a lobby for fucking practice rooms. There's doors on either sides, and that's where all the bands jam. So, I mean, this Meat Locker place is such a shithole. But I see tour packages going through there all the time.
There's always shows going through
there. Hey, man, yeah. I'm going to a sick show down at Storage Units 362 tonight.
Sometimes those are the best shows.
Sometimes they are, man. Because like, oh man, it's like usually it's like BYOB or something. Yeah,
everyone's getting hammered.
Yeah, I love basement shows anyway, man. You know,
no like, set times. It's like whatever. Yeah. We're done when we're done.
I mean, they're a little tiresome when you're like 3,000 miles away from home.
That's a different ballgame.
You know, and you've been doing it every day, but yeah. Going to them is fun as hell.
Well, it's,
I played a show there with Forrest, and there was two German bands that were on like a U.S. tour, and they played there that night. We were opening, and they were so pissed about that place, they didn't even want to play. It was fucking, hilarious. Well,
you remember when we were in Germany? Like I was saying, on that tour, everything was done right, and it's because the venues in Europe are just awesome, dude.
Take care of you, yeah, too, right?
I mean, you remember when we were there, dude?
Completely different. Yeah, it was crazy.
They would just like they stay up all night. They don't really have like a time to like kick everyone out and stuff, and everyone can just kind of hang out. And the venues are really well kept. Like they treat bands really well there. And you know, the United States, it's like you'd be lucky if you got a thank you. I mean, hell, you'd be lucky if you even got like a fuck you. You know,
right. You want a bottle of water? Go to the bathroom.
Seriously,
fuck out of here.
Type stuff like that. Yeah, bullshit. I mean, I don't ask for much, but dude, like drinking fucking brown water out of a faucet in a bathroom that doesn't even have like a toilet.
Bar charges you $2 for water. Like we're playing here.
Yeah, well, I can see that.
Let's Soul Remnants. I only got a couple more questions left, and we'll wrap things up here and enjoy some more pizza. But
yeah, I don't know where the hell the other guys are.
That's okay. Yeah, it's like it got to be at least 8:30 at this point.
For all those listening in podcast land,
the rest of Soul Remnants,
two band members to show up to band practice,
fashionably late. Yeah. Let's correct me if I'm wrong. You guys working on a new album?
Yeah, it's mixed.
Oh, it's already mixed. Okay, yeah. Shit, you're it's definitely all working. All right, how long are you thinking? Like 45, 30 minutes? What do you think?
So just under 40 right now.
Just under 40? Okay.
We might have to fill it up to like, 40. So we'll put like some thunder and rain at the end of it.
Throw some samples in there. Kill up that time.
Kind of like another band has done back in 1986.
The fuck fills that up?
Yeah, who puts thunder and rain at the end of their albums? What a bunch of losers.
Bunch of assholes.
Just put crowd noise and call it a live album.
You guys even know what I'm talking about? I hope you guys know I'm talking about Rain and Blood right now. Yeah, all right, cool. I'm about to say.
86, rain.
All right, yeah, maybe I just had a bad fucking
We're
joke
with down. You there. You, right, no, cool. You. I was laughing. On the inside.
I think I'm funny sometimes, but I'm just stop me. Fucking stop me, please.
I wanted to see where it was going. Yeah. And exactly went exactly where I wanted it to. You're all right, so like do you have like a title or are you kind of keeping that quiet right now? For the new album? You can just say fuck off, Brian.
Should I say that, Ryan?
Yeah.
I think we can say it. Yeah. I think we've
if you really want to think about it, you could say fuck off, Brian.
No. I think we've rounded out on Ouroboros.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
You're all kind of like, where you want to go with this.
You know, it's a vicious cycle of humanity. Again, it's one of those things, like, I think Mitch or Tom could actually explain better.
If they showed up.
Yeah.
Jeez.
It really is just like the last days of humanity. You know, like how people are just really reduced down to instinct and no longer rational beings. At that point, everyone's in such a panic. There's like, it's a survival of the fittest game. And then even like the survivalists of the survivors start killing everyone else off. And then there's one guy left.
Damn.
And I don't really know what he does yet. I got to find out from Mitch what the actual concept, it's a concept album.
And okay, this makes sense. No, yeah.
I think the guy kills himself or something. I don't.
Spoiler alert.
I don't know. Yeah. No, dude, maybe he just goes home and makes a sandwich or something. I really don't fucking know.
Track 12, The Sandwich.
That would actually be awesome.
That's how it all ends.
To have like a really sick up. Concept, and then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, it's fucking Back to the Future 4.
What a fucking bologna and cheese sandwich in the end. All right. Estimated, when are you guys thinking about putting it out? And take your time. My bands always try to rush shit out. Breathe. That's all I'm going to say. Maybe we could just record this argument going on over here.
I hear a band argument going on next door.
We are so opening for Nickelback. No, we're opening for Seven Dust.
All right. Actually, no, he's talking about the guitar show that just happened.
Generation X, right?
Yeah. That actually sounded like a band argument. No, he's just telling them about the show.
Oh, see, I got my earplugs in, and it sounds like people going back and forth.
It really does.
Oh, Generation
just
X.
Just an excited storyteller.
Yeah.
Cool. Goddamn. So, like, maybe later this year? Fall kind of thing?
Definitely within a year.
Yeah. Right on.
We're just working out the final stuff with it, and
artwork and all that shit.
Should be out soon.
Yeah.
Keep your eyes peeled on that. A couple more questions, and then we'll wrap things up. Are there any bands that Soul Remnants would like to go on tour with but haven't had the chance to? Like, if the offer came on your table, who would you love to get an offer from? Like, hey, let's go on tour. It's a weird influences question.
I don't know. Probably some of those bands that are coming out these days that are really big amongst the kids.
Uberstank?
Yeah. yeah, Incubus. who's that other band? The Breeders.
I never heard of them.
Yeah, there was another band back in the day called Oasis that we could probably open for, I think. I think we'd go over well.
They had the best haircuts.
I'll text them. See what happens.
Yeah, I mean, one of the various incarnations of Vanilla Ice's band.
I'd pay to see any of these shows. Maybe. Well, what about you, Ryan? Like, if there was a band, if you would love to see a blank contract on the table that said you can go on tour with this band this year, who would you write in?
I'm still a kid at heart. I'd want to go see my favorite classic death metal bands. Share the stage with them with, like, you know, Suffocation.
Oh, Suffocation.
Yeah, sorry I didn't give you a serious answer there.
Honestly, I like the half and half situation we're going. We got good cop, bad cop. It's good. Okay. It works. This works.
Yeah, I can dig it.
This works. So, Suffocation, they're on the road right now. They're just on they're with, who the hell are they touring with? God damn it. Josh's band. Josh Malika. Abnormality. Yeah. Sorry. Brain fart. If I can do Josh's podcast, he's going to kill me. you guys hear about Guns N' Roses? They are offering a $2,500 VIP experience to their stadium tours, which doesn't include a meet and greet. $2,500 VIP.
Well, if you're cool with selling tickets for shows, you'd probably be into that deal.
That might be your career path. Yeah. You can work up to those VIP experiences.
Yeah, hey, I'm a professional payer. I just pay.
You're hired.
Yeah, that's all I do.
You got the job. I don't know. I was going to throw that line out. I can't. 25. I can't, like, just picture.
Just sounds like they're begging for money. You might as well pass around a hat.
Yeah, picture.
Well, you know, I mean, that's just real. I mean, dude, that's just hubris, man.
We're talking posters, maybe a photo on the stage. Yeah, not even meeting the band for $2,500.
Shit, at least a hooker with that price. You know?
But, GNR show, it's probably possible. But not a good hooker, but... I mean, just,
no, I'm kidding about that.
No, just like...
I don't condone prostitution by any means.
I only ask this question because I just like to get in band's mindsets. Like, just think of you right now, where you are. The garage you're playing in, you guys are getting a new album out the door, busting ass. Could you ever picture yourself in a position where people are paying $2,500 to not even meet you, just to get your poster, your t-shirt, and maybe a concert? Like, doesn't that, it blows my mind to think of that.
I'm sure a lot of people that know me would pay $2,500 to not meet me.
$2,500 bucks? Oh, yeah. We'll do a crowdfunding.
I can pay this much and just erase all these memories. I'm down.
Yeah.
It just blows my mind.
To answer your question seriously,
not even a question. It's just like,
dude,
mind blowing.
I mean, that's just that's really, like, it's mind blowing.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I mean,
right.
It
makes you, like, think, like, of where you are right now.
The fact that they can sell out, like, a football stadium, like, twice for tickets that are, like, I don't know,
on a Tuesday,
on an average, yeah, they're like
in the
$500. Yeah.
In July on a Tuesday, they can sell that out.
Dude, like, okay, now that's a show I would sell tickets to play, you know?
Exactly. Do we have 14 local openers on the GNR Stadium show?
That would be amazing. To have, like, a bunch of, like, fucking, like, 2003 metalcore worshipping bands fucking play for...
You want to talk about a show that I'd pay to play on?
From Guns N' Roses.
If I got a 9 a.m. slot to play Gillette Stadium for the Guns N' Roses package, I think I'd probably take that one.
Dude, absolutely. I mean, I would have to form a new band for it, I think.
Probably right.
But...
All right, two questions left, guys. We'll wrap things up here. We're at a pretty good point here. I know we're not really being serious, but what's the most important advice you can give to a new band starting this year? I know it's deep. I'm going there. You got some 16-year-olds who just listen to some death metal records. Oh, I want to get started.
Just fucking get on. Make sure you get on good shows and sell as many tickets as you can.
For those promoters.
Yep. To get your exposure and get in front of more people.
Get those exposure bucks.
I mean, the more exposure you get, the more shows you get, the more tickets you have to sell, and the harder you have to work. Keep at it.
Hey, Gillette Stadium's not going to sell itself.
I mean, no. Absolutely not. I mean, Robert Kraft and whatever promoter he works with will not be able to sell the tickets themselves. It's up to the bands now to do that.
Robert. Look where we're going with this.
Dude, why the hell can't I give you a serious answer right now?
I don't want it. I don't want it. Yeah. You're bad cop. I have good cop over here, Ryan. Like, what about you? You got some 16-year-old kid? Just found an old Suffocation album. Oh, I want to do this shit. What do you tell that kid? Besides don't, because that's mostly the response we get.
I was going to say it earlier. Yeah.
Most bands say don't or no.
You just got to practice.
Practice, yeah.
Practice.
Get tight.
Communication. Make sure the guys you're working with are looking the same direction you are.
See, no one's ever said that here. Communication.
Yeah. Well, you want to find guys who are dedicated. Yeah. I mean, you want to find guys who you have that kind of have like a similar vision. Sometimes if you don't have a similar vision, that works to a great effect too.
You'll get different inputs on songwriting.
But I think it really comes down to chemistry and how you get along and how it all clicks. I mean, as long as that feels right, then that's kind of where you want to be.
Can't argue that.
And I mean, you're not guaranteed success.
Not at all.
But you can have a lot of great experiences along the way, and meet, you know, some of the best people you ever meet. And that's me being very serious right now.
See, you wrap things up with a very serious tone. I liked it. You're a bad cop, but you became good. At the end of the show. No, this is good. You're a good interview. You're better than you think you are.
I'm very happy to be here on Brick Breaker Radio.
It's on the four flags in your hand for the past 45 minutes. So let's... the question we always like to wrap up with... can you think of any of projects, both of you guys, and I'll give you a minute to think, one of your best shows and one of your worst shows?
That we attended or played?
Played. Played. Or unless you got a good attended story, because I'm into that too. And it's okay. The dead ear is fine here.
The best show we played was probably Nile.
Palladium upstairs, right?
Yeah. We sold tickets for that one.
We played with...
That was the only time we sold tickets for a show.
We played with... we opened up for Obituary in Quincy. And there was like no stage in that bar. And the place was packed.
President's Club?
That closed down, right? That was an awesome show. Yeah.
I don't think they're doing shows there anymore. I don't think it's even around.
No, Tall Colin was running that place for a while. And then... I think it closed down. I think he was like the GM there or something at some point.
So Soul Remnants, you guys play with Obituary and you play with Nile, which that's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
Different experiences.
Suffocation 2 years ago.
Suffocation, right? Middle East, I think.
Yeah.
I got really hammered at that. And then we were hanging out with the Suffo dudes and I was just so fucking blackout drunk, just yelling at them. They're like,
did you go to Basil's party after that?
Yeah, we did.
It was one of those nights where you would, yeah, for anyone here listening, Basil's a mutual friend of ours.
Our Power Glove buddy, he's in the alumni here on our show. Yeah. Good dude.
And he's also, it was his birthday that night and he lived walking distance from the venue.
Oh, yes.
And we got a free case of beer. So we got treated well that night and, yeah, dude, it was one of those nights where I went to that show. I mean, I went to the party after the show and... It's like
case one, of beer. That's all you gotta say.
One, like, it was one of those parties where you go in, you drink a beer, you run outside to throw up, you come back in, you drink a beer, you go back outside to throw up, and it's like you it just keeps going. Like, you don't pass out, you don't like get weak from doing it. It's
okay, weird. I wasn't the only dickhead there then, because like I thought I was blackout. Like,
no,
somebody kept feeding me whiskey at the venue. And by the time I got to Basel, I was fucking done. So yeah. Like, if that's either one of your best shows, maybe Obituary for you, Ryan, and then maybe Niall, we'll just say, for the storytelling here, you got to have a show for Soul Remnants. All the shows you've played, it's got to be real fucking shitty show. You don't have to say promoters or whatever. There's got to be one that stands out to you as, oof, looking back. Could be on the tour, on the road, maybe. See, most bands have this answer right away.
Yeah.
Which is weird. Maybe you guys don't have a shitty experience.
I mean, there are...
The only show I regret with this band, I didn't make one. I didn't have a ride. The drummer at the time ended up playing like a song and a half and hurt his arm, and then that was their whole set.
Oh, I heard about this show, actually.
That sounds pretty brutal.
But I wasn't there, so it wasn't my worst show.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Jersey. I mean, you said something about Jersey earlier.
That was with different
bands. Oh, you're right. That wasn't Soul Remnants.
That had nothing to do with Soul Remnants. Right.
Coming back to me.
I think, we played this one show. At least this was for me. We played a show. I think it was probably like -5 degrees out, and it was in Revere at Sammy's. And Dante got actually a pretty good show going that night. It was like us and Lord Almighty, a couple other bands. I think Entombed played it too. And it was cool. It had potential. But no one came out because it was like we just got like 2 feet of snow.
Oh.
The beach, I mean, dude, everything was covered. Remember how icy it was? We actually took a walk on the beach, like, through the snow. It was killer. Dude. That was probably the cooler part of the night.
That's all you remember from the show, pretty much.
Yeah, and there wasn't a lot of people. Some people showed up, but, like, and it was just kind of, it was just so cold. It was, like, one of those, it was, like, the one time you don't really want to be playing at all. You'd rather just be, like, I don't know, like, at a fire or something.
With a half glass of whiskey hanging out.
Exactly.
Right? You're setting up your drums with your gloves on, probably, at that point.
Yeah, it was just...
like, cold and cold. Just whatever.
And yeah, like...
Winter shows can be brutal.
Yeah. That and snowstorms. No one ever comes out in the snow. Yeah.
A couple of snowflakes and forget it. There's half your crowd gone. I mean, hell, we've bailed on... We've only dropped one show in our existence. It was for a snowstorm. The other band showed up, so...
Yeah.
We played the pussy card. Like, ugh, can't do it.
Yeah.
If the roads are brutal, I'm not going to do it. But that's from a band standpoint. I mean,
dude, you know, at the same time, you gotta know when to hold them, know when to fold them, too, because if you're driving in a foot of snow, man, chances are a lot of people aren't. And you show up to that show, and you just, like, almost gotten, like, 4 accidents.
Yeah.
And there's, like... 5 people there that are like locals or something. You know?
Yeah, who live at the bar.
Dude, I mean, at that time, it's like, it's worth risking your integrity, man, you know?
Yeah, we played our card that night. Promoter still worked with us, but that's like, cool. We're just like, you know what, dude? No.
Yeah,
winter shows. Not dumping my van at fucking going up there.
Winter shows are definitely tough, man.
Yeah.
Let's just, I don't know, sake of the story, let's just say maybe one of that one show you mentioned, like, just cold, fucking low turnout, whatever. But if that's your worst show, that's not terrible. That's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, you know? Like I said, I'm not even saying it was, like, really horrible, you know? Like,
you're grabbing for straws at this point, just like, which is, that's good.
Hey, dude, I've played my fair share of, like, awful, awful shows.
Outside of Soul Remnants, maybe?
Yeah, yeah. But that wasn't, you know, that's definitely not the show.
If you've been doing this long enough, everybody has those stories.
Yeah.
It's exactly.
It just happens.
You don't have to really do it long, honestly, right, to find where fucking rock bottom is.
Actually, that's one of the first things you learn right away.
Yeah. Yeah, it is actually. Yeah, exactly. It's like,
no one gives a fuck about you and you're terrible. You know?
When you have nothing to lose, you have everything to gain.
Yes. Comes back to the fucking mobster mentality over here. Yeah. You know, you got everything to lose, nothing to gain, you know. Maybe I'll see you by the docks later.
Hey.
Hey.
I'll go take care of that thing later.
Let's wrap things up here. Plugs. You got, you're working on the album, shows? Anything coming up?
nothing in sight.
Not doing shit. Get that album out.
We're talking about doing something maybe in July. Maybe doing some out-of-state dates, which would be really sweet.
Yeah. Why not hit the road in the summer for a couple long weekend or some bullshit, right?
Well, I think the chances are good we're not going to run into like a negative 5-degree night.
105 degree, maybe.
Yeah, 105. I've been there.
Those are your options. Yeah. Ugh. Who knows?
I'll take the sauna.
That fucking sauna. That fucking ski resort. God, Sunday River, right?
Sunday River sauna. What sauna at the Sunday River?
No, not sauna. Yeah, the sauna. Sunday River. That was like a month and a half ago.
Oh, right. That's right. There was a sauna right down by the pool.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
For I don't think people listening have any context to that.
No,
they're like Sunday River sauna. Like,
there's like five people laughing at this right now. Yeah. So that,
well, you realize this has been like a horribly like tangential fucking conversation the whole time.
This is our 96th episode, and most of them are just like this. So
that's a special number, 96.
96, yes, indeed.
It's celebratory.
Any other plugs? You guys have your websites and all that shit. You want to put that out there? You get soulremnants.com,
yeah,
I think?
Yeah, soulremnants.com. Yeah, I guess, you know, check us out. Support us if you can, if you like it. You know, we're going to have a new record out. I know Ryan is working with a couple other bands, too, so you might want to plug those.
Yeah, anything you got going on? What else you got going on, Ryan?
I'm just in a band called Forced Asphyxiation. We're about to drop an album.
Force Asphyxiation, of course. You have Alex as a drummer.
Yes.
You and every other band has Alex as a drummer.
Yeah, he's getting out there.
I thought you were in Force. You looked familiar. Good band. Good band. We've had them on. We had Alex and, Brian. Alex and Brian, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Good dudes. Please say hello. Hey, what's happening?
Look who decides to show up.
We're just being dickheads.
Mr. Chad Fisher. Looking all business casual.
Very business casual. Professional. All right. SoulRemnants.com. You guys are on Facebook, all that bullshit. Google it. Fucking Google Soul Remnants. I'm sure it'll come right up. You got a new album coming out. Get that shit. Support these guys. If they're on Neckbreaker, we give a shit about them. So don't be an asshole. Don't download.
Hey, what's up? Tom Preziosi has just showed up, too, at the very end of the interview.
Yes. What's
I mean, we're live right now. There's people listening to this.
Thousands. Nice. And thousands of people listening to us right now.
This is definitely not pre-recorded, Tom.
No, you're good. Actually, we're at the end. So, Colin, Ryan, appreciate you guys being on Neckbreaker, drinking some beers with me, hanging out. And that's it. Much appreciated. Cheers and beers.
Thanks.
The time has come. The episode is finished. And now you're craving some live wrestling and metal events. And the best way to get your fix is by grabbing tickets from our friends at Click It Ticket. Google Click a Ticket, add some wrestling, metal, or sporting seats to your cart, then enter the promo code NECKBREAKER at checkout for an exclusive 5% discount. Once again, Google Click a Ticket, add some tickets to your cart, enter NECKBREAKER, and you'll get your 5% discount. Show's over, fucks.